judgment day. Then there comes a warning, calling soldiers to war. But half of them were sleeping, the other half ignored. Why have we come here? What lies in store? Isn't this what we have all been waiting for? Stand and be counted, because one thing I know, we are all soldiers in the revolution of heart and mind and soul. The end of all your worrying, we have all that we need. So stifle all your fear and complacency. Yeah, we walk through the valley and we glow in the shadow of death. We don't march alone, no, and life is too short to rest. Why have we come here? What lies in store? Isn't this what we have all been waiting for? Stand and be counted, there's one thing I know. We are all soldiers in the revolution of heart and mind and soul. Oh, I am convinced that the consequence of your effort is eternity.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Repair of the Breach broadcast. I'm Repair of the Breach, Zach Daniel, here on RBN, the Public Broadcasting Network. And the Repair of the Breach broadcast can be heard on what the pagan calendar states every Sunday night between 8 to 9 p.m. on the West, and 10 to 11 p.m. on the Central Standard Time Zone. We're going to have a special guest here, y'all willing, here in about the hour or so. Delios, and I want to talk a little bit about what year it really is. The pagan calendar says 2007, but enough evidence to prove that that's scripturally not accurate, just like we know the month, even though they call it October, is really the 10th moon or 10th month, when it doesn't even use the moon, it really is the 8th moon, scripturally speaking. But we're going to have some really interesting information to give out tonight, and what year it really is. And after much study and review, Delios has come up with a scriptural evidence of we're actually in the year 6010 instead of 2007. I'm Zach Daniel. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar-powered generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself, absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
The Republic Broadcasting Network. You're tuned to the Repair the Breach broadcast on RBN. I'm the Repair the Breach, Zach Daniel, and we're talking about the year, what year it really is. There's enough evidence to believe that the calendar has, the yearly calendar, I should say, has been tampered with. It's been off center. The scriptural text to prove that it would be this way in the last days and the end time would be in Daniel 7:25, where Daniel said that they would think to change times, days, and years, they being the powers that be. And, you know, we've touched the subject many times, and we've touched about the moon setting the count for all the feasts or the appointments for the weekly Sabbath, the new moons, and, of course, all the feasts. And whereas the sun would regulate the day and the year, and the stars would tell us when a day truly begins. When the stars come out at night, it's when another day begins. It's not when the sun goes down immediately. Nehemiah chapter 4, chapter 5, I believe, deals with that subject. But the year,
people ask me, what year are we in, Zach? And you know, we've known it's been off center, but a real good friend of ours, Stelios, has put a really great timeline together. Scripturally, he can prove that the calendar or the year on the calendar on our wall, 2007, is erroneous, and we've known that for some time as well. But he's come up with this timeline that actually can pinpoint that the year we're actually in is in the year 6010, because from the time of the Messiah when he was born was the year 4000. Okay? And so there's a scripture in Hosea that talks about on the third day that the Messiah would give us rest, and a day with Yahweh is like 1,000 years. In Hosea 6:2, it says, after 2 days, the Creator, the Almighty Messiah, will revive us. On the third day, he shall raise us up, typifying, obviously, he raising on the third day, resurrecting from the dead on the third day, but also typifying also on the spiritual timeline to the natural timeline as well. So if he was born on the year 4000, and then on the third day, he raised us up or entering into the 7,000th year, and that apparently occurred in what the calendar called 1998. I guess he's going to talk about it tonight a little bit about what he's come up with. Y2K, when everyone talked about Y2K, the year 6000 was actually what the world was calling 1998. And so Y2K didn't happen on 2000. It actually occurred in what they called 1998. It was actually the year 6000. His timeline goes like this. Do you know what year we are in? What year we are in? Adam to the flood. From Adam, the creation, the first created man, was Adam to the flood was 1,656 years, plus the flood to Abraham was 427 years, plus Abraham to the Exodus, 430 years, plus Exodus to the temple, 480 years, plus temple to the time of Nebuchadnezzar, 406 years, plus the time of Nebuchadnezzar to the Messiah, 601 years, equals the Messiah being born in the year 4000, or year 4000, during that Feast of Tabernacles, which we've concurred with as well on this broadcast. And then he goes on to say, in this study he put together, the census of Caesar and reign of Herod in 3 BC, in the book of Matthew, also confirmed by secular records, he contends, which, you know, is pretty good evidence. In fact, he states, we then add 2000 to find the year 6000. Conclusion he comes up with, Stelios, fall or seventh month tabernacles, year 6000 equals 1998. He states the pagan Roman calendar through astronomical data confirms setting in Revelation chapter 12, Messiah born, what the pagan calendar states, September 11, 3 BC. So he does have some good information. I haven't found anything where I could disagree with it. In fact, I would concur wholeheartedly, because the evidence is pretty clear that when we talked about the common era, or when the Messiah was born, you know, you've seen the old hyphen or the slogan AD. You know, many people say that's after the death of Messiah and time started counting again. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4 AD, and so forth. But that's really in a Latin term, anno domini, or anno domini, and which is all pagan Latin. Latin is pagan in itself, because Latin means mystery and also means hidden. So he's going to join us here shortly, and hopefully he can explain a little bit more of the information that he's come up with. I think I find it very fascinating. And it's a subject that we need to probably talk a little bit more about, the year. And we talked about the months, we talked about the week, we've talked about when the feasts occur, the days, and so forth. But we haven't really touched on the year much, even though I've known that the calendar has been off for for quite some time. And I know the year has been off, read some accounts from other scholars on the subject that the calendar's been off 5 to 7 years. But when you put it in the perspective that it's really not 2007, but 6010, the year 6010, it really puts it more in scriptural perspective, because we haven't just had 2007 years of time, folks. I mean, I think anybody that studied the scriptures would understand that. But hopefully we'll have Stelios on here in a minute or two, and he can explain a little bit about how the Father was showing him this at Revelation, that with biblical support. And I think that's very key right there, that if you don't have the evidence of Scripture to support your position or your thesis, then you don't really have much authority to really back up your claim. So I think he's done a really good job of stating this and putting this in a written form. And in fact, anybody interested in getting an email copy of it, I'd be glad to forward it to you, since he's forwarded it to me. You can email us, Zach Daniel. It's 2 K's for Zach Daniel, D-A-N-I-E-L, no S. Zach Daniel, no S, at yahoo.com. I'd be glad to forward it on what Stelios has put together, what we read on the air here, so that you can see how that the year is really 6010 from a scriptural standpoint. And the month that we're in right now isn't the 10th month, even though on the pagan calendar does state that. But October does mean 8. Octagon, octopus, we touch it many times, means 8. October in Latin means 8. And yet they still want to make us believe that we're in the 10th month without using the moon. It's, again, quasi, it's all calculation, it has nothing to do with the moon, and yet they're telling it's the 10th month. To have a month, you need to use the moon. So we know we're in the 8th moon, and the weekly Sabbath for the 8th moon, by the way, folks, is from what the pagan calendar states, from Wednesday evening to Thursday evening for the next three more weeks. So if you want to observe the scriptural Sabbath, it is from Wednesday evening to Thursday evening, and it is the fourth commandment in the scriptures. It does clearly teach us that we are to remember the Sabbath, to keep it set apart, and that Yahweh's people would be identified with him by keeping his Shabbat, his holy set apart day, his seventh day. So again, Wednesday night to Thursday night for the next three more weeks is the weekly Sabbath. So we're going to hopefully open it up for questions, hopefully tonight, is Stelios, so wants to field questions, we'll do that. Because I know there's probably a lot of people straight shaking their head, scratching their head on this subject tonight, but I really think it's well-founded, the position he's took. Again, I concur with it. I've looked this up, I've researched it myself, and I haven't found any holes in it. I think he's dead on this point. So we're going to deal with that. Let me deal with a couple more scriptures here before we get Stelios on the line. Back again in the book of Peter, it says, actually Kepha is his real name. Kepha talked about this. He said that, "But beloved ones, let not this one matter be hidden from you, that with Yahweh one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." Many believe that the sixth day of creation represents 6,000 years. And that's where we're at. We're at 6,010 to be exact. And on the seventh day, into the 7,000, the seventh millennium, was the day of rest, or the year, or millennium rest. And there'll be that millennial rest. It could happen any time with this formula of calculation that is scripturally evidenced, in fact, in Scripture. It just shows you how close we really are. We have actually entered into the seventh millennium, the last 10 years. What they were calling 1998 really was the year 6000. So We'll be right back here on the Repair the Breach broadcast. I'm Zach Daniel. Hopefully we'll have our special guest, Stelios.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Here on the Repair the Breach broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN. I'm Zach Daniel, the Repair of the Breach, and we do have a special guest tonight, a real good friend of our dear friend Stelios from the southern part of Arizona, and he has done a just an incredible job of research on what time it is or what year we're actually in, and we touched on that before the break. And without any further ado, we have Stelios joining us live from the southern part of Arizona. Welcome, my good friend. How are you doing tonight?
Very good. Thank you. Thanks for having me, Zach.
Hey, you're welcome, Stelios. And tell us, Stelios, about how the Father began to reveal to you how that we're actually in the year 6010 instead of the quasi-makeshift pagan calculation of 2007.
Well, from studying the Bible and looking at it very much in depth for the past 5 years, as anyone can see, when you open certain prophets, books of the prophets, you'll see they'll start giving a measurement of days and months, and you'll never notice any mention of the named months and the name days that the that are called, you know, the Roman Greco calendar. So it's very subtle, and I started studying scripture from a point of view I don't want to take anything from for granted, so I rejected the notion of what mankind is doing as being in line with scripture from a religious point of view, and I started looking at how the calendar, what people call the calendar, what you go to a card shop or a hardware store gives you a calendar around December, January to hang on your wall. I found that was just fiction. It was just a piece of paper. It had nothing to do with scripture. I found out that the days of the months were not respected. The first day of the month was not respected. The years were messed with. Everything was just really out of alignment. And then I went back into scripture and was just looking at the feast days and couldn't find them. Couldn't find them anyhow of any form of measurement using the Roman Greco calendar or what people call a calendar, January through December. And that, again, led me to find out how time was being kept or how Yahweh wants us to keep time and how time was being kept by our forefathers. And that's pretty much what led me down that road.
Absolutely. And you know, looking at the timeline that you sent me through it, and I couldn't find any holes, and I think really the Father's been giving you a revelation that a lot of people need to know, because, I mean, if we don't know what time it is, what year it is, what month it is, what day it is, you know, the Scripture does say that to the righteous remnant, Yahweh does reveal that day will not overtake us unaware. So if we don't know what day, what year, we really could miss out on what He has for us.
Yes, very much so. And let's not forget, most of prophecy is very much also based on road marks or landmarks in, you know, things occurring. He never really gave it to us in a particular year. The closest we can get to a year in prophecy is by millennia, and each day being 1,000 years. In his terms.
Right
now we're clearly going into the Sabbath, the 7,000th year since Adam. So his work is finishing up right now. We're preparing for his return.
Right, so that's occurred the last 10 years. So when they called it 1998, we were actually at 6,000. Y2K was really 6,002. So everybody was just stocking up on canned foods to no avail at the time.
Yeah, that's just, again, it's part of an image training, and it's basically like no one knows what's going on. And what they're doing is trying to create a false sense of authority where there is no authority. They're giving this fictitious calendar, just a piece of paper with numbers and names printed on it, authority.
Right.
And there's no authority in there.
Right. And it's basically, as we know, we both know, and many know, it's built strictly on commerce to control you as well. And yet it's a fiction played out as reality, fulfilling Daniel 7:25, that they would just think to change time to days and years when they really couldn't pull Yahweh's sun, moon, or stars. They could only think or paint an illusion, and everyone's running around like a hamster in a wheel because they're following this 1 through 31, January through December, counting these pagan terms, and still something's missing, and people can feel it. Hey, something isn't right. And I really, you know, commend you for doing the research on this, on the year aspect of things, because I think it really, I think it's really important what you've done. And I know you've studied other areas and other scriptures and prophecy and time and everything. What do you believe is on the horizon with all these things, you know, happening so fast, rapidly, you know, in the Middle East and so forth?
Oh, well, the Middle East is what we need to watch, because Yahweh is using Israel, the Israelites, and the Middle East, and the nine nations around them as a time clock. So we have a reference point about what's going to come on the earth.
Right. Why don't you hold that thought? We're going to go to a break, and we're visiting with Stelios in the southern part of of Arizona, and we... we'll be right back here on the Repair the Breach broadcast. I'm Zach Daniel with Repair the Breach here on RBN. We've got Manny and our producer in the studio. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Again, I'm Zach Daniel with Repair the Breach, and we'll be right back with Stelios.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar powered generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar powered generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000 watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself, absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Broadcasting Network, RBN, I'm the Repair of the Breach here, Zach Daniel, and we're with Stelios, and Stelios, we've got a call from Mike in Kentucky. We'll get to him in a minute, but I wanted you to finish your point there on the Middle East and how that is Yahweh's timepiece, actually Jerusalem really is, and it's a stumbling block, a stone of trembling, that anybody messes with it, in a sense, in the end times, Yahweh will definitely judge those people that do that.
Yeah, again, Yahweh's timepiece, and we need to separate ourselves from the prejudice and the, how else would you say, I'm trying to look for a word that would would separate it from the way that people view the Middle East as being separate from them. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is separate from us here because we're far away also from lineage and
right.
from, you know, we're not in that culture. But he chose it as a timepiece, just like if I were to say, Zechariah, tomorrow we're going to meet for coffee at 4 o'clock. Well, how do we end up meeting? We both have the same reference point. It's a clock somewhere on the wall or on your wrist. And we, as the time approaches, we start looking at that timepiece to know when we're going to meet. It's as simple
right.
as that. And within that, the timepiece being established as Israel and the Middle East, he also takes the opportunity, that this is Yahweh our Father, to educate us, to give us, to impart knowledge through the stories of the people in that part of the world, from Adam all the way down pretty much to the Messiah and the disciples after that. I would like to maybe just get into a brief overview of how we came about the year.
Sure, go right ahead.
People
Mike
are
on the line.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, basically we started Adam. And I'll just look at the document I sent you, for example, and people are welcome to research this. From Adam to the flood, there's 1,656 years.
Mm-hmm.
From the flood to Abraham, we have 427 years. From Abraham to the Exodus, there's 430 years. And this is from when Abram became became Abraham, by the way.
Okay.
And went into the land of Canaan. Okay, now we have Exodus to temple is 480 years. Temple to Nebuchadnezzar is 406 years. Nebuchadnezzar to the Messiah is 601 years. And that when you add that up, the Messiah was born in the year 4000. Now, a simple way to get to that is in Exodus 25, when Moses is commanded to build the seven-branch lampstand for the tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
He explains how the center candle is the Son of Man, the Savior of the world, the Messiah.
Right.
So if a thousand, if you see the 7 year or the 7 days of the week, the 7 days of creation, the 7,000 year plan,
right.
we see the Messiah coming in at the fourth candle, which would be the 4,000th year.
Right. So, rest. Also, the fourth commandment was the Sabbath day rest, so it was typifying as well.
Right. So when you look at the Sabbath, this the word Sabbath being the commandment is the command of the seven.
Mm-hmm.
The word Sabbath
right.
means Shabbat, seven.
Mm-hmm.
So we go back to looking at the lampstand, like in Psalms, David said, "The lampstand is your lamp is a light unto my feet, and the law mm-hmm. is what shows me how to walk." And the Messiah,
right.
Yahweh, is both represented. His plan is represented by the lampstand, and his word is represented by the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Another important thing to look at is we can see the exact day he was born down to the hour. Very simply by when we establish and the witnesses that are given in Matthew, the book of Matthew, which starts out with the lineage of the Messiah, there are the census of Caesar is mentioned,
mm-hmm.
and also Herod. We knew that Herod died shortly after that. So when we look at the secular records about the census and Herod's reign, we find it to be around 3 BC.
Right.
This is using secular records because we need two witnesses in order for something to be true. That's why he mentions Caesar and Herod as well.
Right, that's a good point.
Yeah, everything, whenever you make a conclusion or you come to a theory, let's say, of something in the Bible, you must find two witnesses in the Bible.
Right, that's right.
Right. So if we go to Revelation 12 and we find that it's around 3 BC the year on the secular way of keeping time, Revelation 12 says, "And a great sign was seen in the heaven, a woman mm-hmm. clad with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And being pregnant, she cried out in labor and in pain and gave birth." Revelation 12, that's the description of the Messiah being born. And also there are the prophets also proclaimed he would be born of a virgin. And his and Prophet Isaiah gets into a lot of detail on how and where he would be born as well.
Mm-hmm.
So now we know that Revelation 12 is speaking of the Messiah. And if we go back and see that, that is a description of a very specific astronomical event. And if we go to a planetarium or an astronomical-based database computer and put in this information, it'll typically show that this celestial alignment, the woman being Virgo, clad with the sun and the moon under her feet and on her head a crown of 12 stars, that those constellations and that astronomical alignment happens every year, usually at the end of August to about the second week of September. So if we go back to 3 BC and we run the computer program, we find that he was born on September 11th, 3 BC.
Even in their pagan terminology, they even had it, well, Latin and Greek obviously was going on back then as well, that being a
right.
Latin term.
Right, so he was born. He was really born on the 14th day of the seventh month, because that is also coincidentally the day right before or the night of the tabernacle.
Right,
like Isaiah said, he will come to set his tabernacle amongst us. So there's your other witness. You see,
right, exactly.
And for example, this year, coincidentally, I know I have a pagan calendar on my refrigerator. I'm sure you do too. Somewhere.
We use it to translate.
Right. I saw that Tabernacles actually started on September 11th, the evening of the 12th.
Right. I believe you're correct on that.
Yeah, and it actually rotates every
year. We celebrated the same time.
Right, we did. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, we did.
So it was around the it was September 11th evening is when we started dwelling in our sukkah, in our booth. Outside,
right.
And I remember it was profound because there was an alignment this year around 3 BC. These alignments take place every 430 years.
Right, right.
So that's where we are with the basics of it. So now if we know that the Messiah was born on the year 4000, and which was 3 BC, we know there's no year zero, right? So you add
right.
2,000 years to that, and you come up with roughly the seventh month of 1998, around September 1998.
Mm-hmm.
Feast of Trumpets
mm-hmm.
would be, or would be 1998 would be the new year. So that would make 1998 around September of 1998 the year 6,000. So we're in 6010 right now, because you have to remember the year number changes between the seventh month. So usually between September and September, the year number changes. So, for example, if you have someone born in October of 2007 or someone born in April of 2008, they're actually born in the same year.
Right, because Yahweh's year begins in the spring,
from
right.
September to September, the number of the year changes on the first day of the seventh month.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, and then we have the physical new year, which is the first month starts again. You know, the first will be last, and the last will be first.
Right.
There are actually seven spiritual months and seven physical months, you know, for harvest and planting, and they overlap where the first is last. You know, Yahweh Messiah said the first is last, and the last first. So if you have the first and the seventh overlapping, become one. So now you have 13 months, which is perfect with the 13 lunar cycles.
Right. That's a good point.
Right. Because the Messiah kept saying many times in Scripture, the last will be first and the first will be last. That applies to many, many things throughout Scripture.
Yeah, it does. It sure does. And not just in time, but in a lot of things as well. It's
right.
Outside of the time.
Yeah. It's one of the basic primers to understand the Bible. If you're having a problem understanding something in Scripture, you look at the seven aspects of what you're reading, and the fourth one will explain the other three on each side, just like the lampstand does.
Mm-hmm.
And also the first and the last are equal, and they form one. So if you're trying to read something in Scripture and you don't understand it, you find two points that are the same. And you'll usually find that they're separated by 6 points, and that middle point, the fourth one, is what describes what you're looking at. I just gave you one of the primers of understanding Scripture.
Yeah, that's a very good reference point. Anything else on the timeline that you wanted to basically get out before we get to our callers?
Yeah, another conclusion is that there is some disclosure on what we call the secular or pagan or Roman calendar. For example, September, they call it the ninth month. Well, Sep stands for seven.
Right, that's right.
You know, October, Oct is eight, like octagon.
Correct.
November stands for nine. December stands for ten.
Mm-hmm.
So there is full disclosure on what's going on you know, part of the calendar there. And it's a third of the calendar that actually is pretty close. I wouldn't say accurate, but it's close enough to say September is the seventh month, even though this year was, I think, August 28th, I think. Remember that?
That's right. The new moon rose on the 27th to the 28th, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. You see, I've been very conscious of the calendar lately. I think I've got all the moons in my head.
Right.
So that's pretty much this is the overview.
Right, and he really put this together very simply to understand, so anybody could read this and understand this, and they can do the math and research the scriptures and some of the secular records. Did you have any sources or so that you used to come up with this timeline?
Say again?
Did you have any secular records that you used that we can use as a reference point at all?
Yeah, it's not gathered in one body of knowledge where I could say, hey, go look this up.
Okay.
It's spread out very thinly through history. You have to look at Roman history. You have to look at the writer Josephus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, look at him. Look at the history of the Roman calendar, the current calendar that most people use.
Right.
And there's a lot of information there on how the Common Era was developed, you know, how they went from B.C. to A.D.
Right.
Right, and you'll see what went on there. It was actually the Romans were a very good record keepers,
mm-hmm.
and this whole thing about leap year and losing a quarter of a day and all that didn't come until much later. The Romans were actually using the moons, and they were very accurate up until about, I'd say, 300 or 400 A.D. So if you research before that time, 300 or 400 A.D., try to go back, just research this, the way man, the history of calendar, the calendar or the history of how people have been trying to keep time, you will see a lot of the alignments that are very accurate to when, again, the Messiah was born, how there's no year zero,
right.
And you figure it out. But again, you have to use scripture, and once I looked at it from the longhand, I found the shorthand was very simple. He's the center candle in the seven-branch lampstand, so that means he's got to be the year 4000, and then everything else just fell together and added up just perfectly.
Right, and the fourth commandment being the rest, and he brought spiritual rest as well as typifying about how to keep the actual fourth commandment, which was the seventh day of the week, which is the fourth commandment, the 4000th year when he was born. For those that, you know, are focused on when he was born, and we touched on that, you touched on that, the Feast of Tabernacles is conclusive evidence that's a fact. But they talk about other people's birth and they're caught up. So if you were born in 19, like say, I think you were born in 66, when is your, not that we observe birthdays, but just for the sake, those people who think their birthday is in 1966, what would you tell them?
Well, again, it depends on the month. I'll give you a great example.
Let's say September.
Okay, well, I was born in September of 1965, late September after Tabernacle, or actually during Tabernacle. And but it was after the Feast of Trumpets, right? So I was born in 5968, and someone else I know that was born in April of 66, right? So we're talking about 1965 being 5968. Okay, so someone born in April of 1966 is also born in 5968 because that year number does not change until the September of 1966. So you don't have to wait for the ball to drop in Times Square in on January, you know, on television to have a new year.
Right. Exactly. We're going to get to our callers. Mike in Kentucky, you're on with Stelios here on the Recovery Beach Broadcast.
I guess that means I was born in 5967, early in the year. A lot of what you're saying, I've been following too for a long time. I avoid, like the plague, saying Julius and Augustus Caesar's names because they demanded worship and were considered, I guess, gods who demanded tithe and all that good stuff. A lot of people.
Nothing's changed,
about.
Bro.
Huh?
Nothing's changed.
Yeah, just a piece of advice, Mike. Don't be afraid of using it, because Messiah also used the name Caesar and all that. But you have to keep it in its proper perspective. If you're not worshiping him, and your intent is clear on who he is, you could use his name.
Well, a couple of things I wanted to bring up. What was it that got Caiaphas so upset that he rent his robe? A lot of people say that, you know, what he said to the crowd was that Jesus had committed blasphemy, but when what he said to him that he would see the Son of Man coming on the clouds.
I want you to hold that thought
real
quick, Mike. We'll hold you over the break. We got Dylan also in Texas, holding patiently. We're visiting with Stelios in Southern Arizona. I'm Zach Daniel, the Repair of the Breach here on RBN. We'll be right back. Stay tuned here on RBN.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint Water System with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar-powered generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
here on the last segment here on the Repair of the Breach broadcast on RBN. I'm Zach Daniel, the Repair of the Breach, and we had Mike there in Kentucky. What was your question again, Mike?
Well, I was kind of at two points that dovetail together. The coming on the clouds thing, you were talking about coming in the air about a half an hour ago, and there's a couple of things that I want, as far as time statements go in the New Testament, that tend to, I don't know how to put it, it weakens the prophetic or the proof that a lot of people point to that say that the prophecies did not come true the way they are said to be. Of course, you have to be careful with what you take as literal and figurative and all that good stuff. And on your all's calendar issue here, how long did it take Adam to name the animals? And he, you know, by all accounts in Genesis, he lived, what, 968 years or something?
Yeah.
Nearly 1,000 years? Now, is that from the day that he ate, he would surely die?
Maybe time started for him when he transgressed.
His mortality started from the day that he ate
the
fruit. But it seems to me like it would take him a couple of thousand years to name all the animals. That was his job. I don't know if he clocked in and out an eight-hour day or whatever, but,
He had to do that. He had to do that before he fell, though, because that's when he
exactly. So instead of the year 4,000, I think instead of the year 4,000, it could have very well easily been the year 6,000 by that account. But the point I was getting at is that the time statements in the New Testament, with all this stuff coming at this is at hand, that is at hand, and ye shall not forget finish going through all the cities of Jerusalem before you see the Son of Man coming on the clouds. And that was the same statement that got Caiaphas so upset, because he was saying he was Jehovah. You will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds in judgment against this paganized Jewish culture. And that's what happened when Nero, who was also called the Beast, I think, by who was the guy that you just referenced his works?
Josephus.
Huh?
I think Mestellus mentioned Josephus earlier.
Josephus, I think, referenced Nero being the Beast, and he was the one who ordered the temple and destroyed in the war.
Yeah, hey, Mike,
his son
really
completed it.
Yeah, huh? You got some good information. I need you to call me back maybe in another broadcast next week. We got to get to Dylan in Texas. Thanks for your call.
Okay,
good insights, by the way. Dylan in Texas, welcome.
Hallelujah, brothers.
Praise Yahweh. How you doing? You got a question for Stellios, my guest?
How do you say your name? Stellios?
Stellios.
Paleos?
Yes. Stellios, yes.
Stellios. Okay, I'm sorry.
You got about a minute or so, bro.
Okay, check this out, brothers. I found this in Genesis 1 and 2. Man was created after animals in Genesis 1. Man was created before animals in Genesis 2. If Genesis 2 is simply an alternate rendering of Genesis 1 history, Genesis 2:4 would be a more appropriate starting verse for the chapter. However, the sequence of events within the text of Genesis 1 must be ignored in order to believe the sequence of events in Genesis 2. Check it out. They're talking about two different guys in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. It's an algebra problem to complete it. You got to go back and read Genesis 1 and 2 again. Check it out. It's a time sequence discrepancy about Adam. It might just be left up to the scribes. It might just be the scribe. I'm not disputing you about your time sequence. I'm saying, who knows? But you got to check out this simple algebra, A don't equal B, on the man, creation of man, in Genesis 1 to 2.
Hey, thanks, Dylan. We got to let you go. Stellios, quickly, your last thoughts or comments here.